It's episode 232. That's 232 of the Kaiju Podcast. Welcome, one and all. I am your host, Chad O'Brien. And over there, that's the other guy. I believe his name is... It's coming to me. No, I'm sorry. You're going to have to introduce yourself.
My name is Hassan Gibson. No, that's Jason.
It's Hassan me, Jason. Gibson. That's one of those weird cultural affectations. I can't pronounce that. So yeah, we just decided to go with Jason for today. Chris is not here with us because he's doing wrestly things, or covering wrestly things. I don't think he really does wrestly things anymore.
Hey, you don't know that. You don't know that.
I don't. Maybe he is a luchador and he gets his tiger mask, and does all kinds of things. I don't know. The world is going topsy-turvy, because, you know, things like the Power Rangers this year in Japan, there's like 9 of them. What's up with that? Masked fighters all over the world are just like, you know, they're going crazy. 9 Rangers,
seems a little excessive.
It's a little excessive, yeah. I mean, the Ranger scene has been going kind of crazy recently.
I guess all the other colors felt left out, so they figured, let's just do it all together.
I mean, what are all the colors? I mean, of course,
they have all the regular like primary colors and secondary colors, and then there's black and white and gold.
Oh, I think. All right. I actually have a list here. We have, Shishi Red, Sasori Orange, Okami Blue, Tenbin Gold, Oshi Black, Hebitsukai Silver, Hebitsukai, a snake user,
okay.
Chameleon Green, Washi Pink, Eagle Pink, Kajiki Yellow, the Commander's Purple, Koguma Sky Blue, and then the, this is just another thing, but yeah let's
wait, see. So I there's think two Blue Rangers?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, that's 10. Okay, I don't know, maybe some of these are like standard.
Well, there's always the extra special one, right? There's the one guy who's different.
Yeah, so I don't know, like, where all these fit in, but yeah. I do actually like, when I talk to my Japanese friends and tell them that, that these kind of shows do appear in America, but with all of the daily life sections completely edited so that it all looks American with American actors. And it's just the combat sequences.
Did you show it to them?
Huh? I haven't shown it, because I don't have any kind of plastic/glass device that could possibly display such a thing. That fits in my pocket.
Nobody has anything like that.
That's right.
That's like sci-fi stuff, man.
Yeah, I mean, I've shown them like the Wikipedia pages, but I mean that doesn't show you know the full on effect. Although you know it does make the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie that came out that much more striking, because that is just all American. That's not Japanese at all. And I hear it sucks. I haven't watched it, of course, but, nostalgia. Nostalgia. I remember, I kind of grew out of Power Rangers about the time Time Force came out. Or, I think it was called Time Force.
I don't know. I watched the original series, and then I think I watched, was the second one, Turbo?
Was that the second one, or was the Dinosaurs second?
Dinosaurs was the first one in America.
That's right. I think they did like a new kind of dinosaur twist later.
They brought the Green Ranger in, like Tommy, yeah. Right? With his like dragon zord, you know, that flute dagger.
No. I mean, there was something just like literally called Dino.
Dino Char. Thunder, yeah, but that was like way later. I think I stopped watching around Turbo, which I believe was the second series in America.
Oh my, Power Rangers. I hear like the only one that really hasn't come over to the West is Akiba Ranger, because it's kind of hard to transpose that.
Well, I think like the original one in America was like, that was like the 20th one in Japan. Well, maybe not 20th, but it was definitely not the first series from Japan.
Oh, sure. Yep, I remember Tommy and Biff and Skull and
dude, Billy was in that series forever.
Yes, he was
forever. Yes. Do you know the reason that the only reason he left that series is because he came out as like the actor came out as gay to his castmates and they like harassed him about it.
Yes. Yeah. And Amy Jo Johnson had her own problems going. It's over. And then, yeah, Power Rangers is a sordid, seedy world.
The underbelly.
That's right, behind the mask. So, welcome to our video game podcast.
Where we talk about Power Rangers all day.
That's right. Well, I mean, they're fighting giant monsters, and I mean, they aren't really kaiju, but they're kind of kaiju offshoots.
They've had video games.
Yeah. So, they've had terrible video games. But, right. Another reason that we are talking about Power Rangers is there's really not much news on the docket this week. We're trying to fill time. I probably shouldn't be telling all of our recording secrets.
You're not supposed to say that, Chad.
That's right. Like other recording secrets, like how sometimes I will just select our entire podcast and play it at a 10% slower speed, so it sounds like we're talking slower. And thus stretching out the time. No, I've never really done that. Let's talk about some news, because there has been just a little bit of news. One thing we didn't cover last week, actually, but is very interesting, I think, is the cancellation. We're just going to jump right into it. I don't care about segues.
You could do the whole nostalgia route.
That would be sure, but this is like, and yeah, I mean, I guess this is the destruction of nostalgia, just like we were destroying our own.
But Chris isn't here, so who cares about segues?
That's right. Speaking of destroying your nostalgia factor, there we go. Mm. Nintendo is putting an end to the mini NES already.
Yeah, like right before it got, or like right when it's getting big. Right?
Yeah, I mean, what led to this decision? Well, sir, demand is skyrocketing through the roof. We cannot put these things on the shelves faster than they are being sold. What should we do? Should we double production? No, cancel the whole thing.
Yeah, that's logic.
Yeah. I really just do not understand the decision behind this, unless it ties into an upcoming reveal of the virtual console that's coming out on Switch, because inevitably that will be coming. And possibly we'll see something by June, E3. But that's not guaranteed, obviously. We do have a guarantee that by the time, like, the fully paid online service for the Switch goes up, there will be classic NES and SNES games available for that subscription service, where you get one game a month, and then it's gone forever.
that's so dumb.
Yes.
They just, like, let me buy old NES games for, like, $2 a piece.
I mean, I'm sure they'll let you buy it, but it won't be for $2. It'll probably be for $5 to $10, as they've done in the past. A lot of people keep hoping that this will be the console generation that they finally consolidate all the virtual consoles and let you keep all of your old purchases. But Nintendo's not going to do that.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Which makes me happy for having never purchased a game on the virtual console. So, this might be the time I finally start. But, yes, the Mini NES, which is still impossible to find, easier to find in Japan, the Mini Famicom over here, but, from all reports, the Mini NES in the States is almost impossible to find. It's still going for super high prices on auction sites. And now that news of its discontinuation has gone out, of course, that price is going to go up even higher.
I'd actually heard an interesting theory online about why they would do this, which is, it's like some sort of weird, like, brand control that Nintendo has. Like, they make you think that just because something says Nintendo is like a reason to have it, but like if everything's flooded, then you might not want it as much. It's like controlling nostalgia.
And to their credit, yes, people will just go buy things because it says Nintendo. Another thing that can kind of lead some extra weight to that theory is the announcement said that the next shipment to retailers in North America will be the last for this year. And it's those last words that really kind of got everyone's attention. The last for this year. Mm. So, It would just be absolutely incredible in a bad sense if they were, just basically saying, no, we're gonna stop it now and then bring it back another time. Which leads me into my next point, which is there are already rumors that there is a, mini SNES in production. And that's what will be coming out, by the end of the year. It's to replace the Mini NES.
I could see that, or I could possibly see like a different Mini NES with just different games. You know, because there was only about 20 games. Was it 20?
I think it was 30. 30. Yeah, it was definitely 30. It was $60 and $2 per game, so 30. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, it was 30 games. So I could see either the SNES happening, which would be cool, or I could see them just doing like a version 2 of the Mini NES with 30 new games.
Possibly. I mean, the NES Classic really had pretty much all you would need, I think.
It didn't have Blaster Master.
It did not have Blaster Master or Master Blaster.
Or Master Blaster.
That's right. The SNES is arguably the better console, featuring much more prominent titles, but, or at least for me, I mean, again, it's an arguable point.
Well, as long as they put Final Fantasy VI on it, man, I'm there.
Yep. I mean, that's all you need. Pay $60 for that. Of course, even if there is credence to this rumor that the Mini SNES will be available, there's almost no chance that Nintendo is going to get production right on this either. Which means it will lead to more shortages and more inflated prices. And, it's going to be a situation.
And I can imagine like the licensing rights for SNES games might be a bit more difficult than for NES games because, I mean, I guess those companies are still more of those companies are still in existence than the ones that developed NES games.
Sure. But at the same time, they'll want any kind of extra money they can get.
True.
That's the speculation. And, so if it comes out, I do hope that they realize the mistake of putting on super short controller cords and fix that issue.
Teeny tiny controllers attached to those cords.
Yeah. As we discussed, in the case of the Mini Famicom, or as Chris informed me, the reason for that was, you know, they, on the original Famicom, they were hardwired into the console. And there was also like a little controller rest on the console. So you had to kind of fit it like that to be true, but it's still a stupid decision because we do not have tiny, tiny hands. Or I do, but I understand a lot of people don't. Right. Well, yeah. Now we're still sticking with the nostalgia theme here, moving from Nintendo to Bandai Namco, in that apparently that company, Bandai Namco, has filed a trademark or a copyright, which one? I forget. Trademark.
A trademark, I
yes,
believe, yeah.
Yes, for Pac-Man Maker in Europe. A lot of people have been saying that this could just be some kind of prank because it's apparently very easy to file for a trademark in Europe. I have absolutely no idea how the system works over there. And some other people have been saying that, you know, it's obviously a fake because why would Bandai Namco,
Bamco.
Yeah, Bamco. Let's just stick with that. why would Bamco make a trademark for a game with a title so similar to Mario Maker? Or, you know, Nintendo might even be upset with something like that. But obviously, Nintendo does not own the trademark on the maker itself.
The word maker.
Right. I mean, you know, you laugh, but have seen cases where...
Candy Crush.
Yeah. The saga. Yeah.
We own the word saga.
That's right. And then there's that whole thing with Edge. But, Maker itself, I mean, there's been games like RPG Maker, things like that, that have been around for a long, long, long time. So,
yeah.
Pac-Man Maker. What are your thoughts on Pac-Man Maker?
It'd be cool. I mean, as long as they put in, like, with Mario Maker, like, they put in all the different iterations of Pac-Man, like, back to the original, and then you get Mrs. Pac-Man, and Ms. Pac-Man, because they're divorced, apparently. maybe some newer ones, like maybe some 3D ones or whatnot, like they did. I mean, that'd be cool. I don't know that I would ever play it, but I think it's a cool idea.
You just want Baby Pac?
Big pack, yeah. I mean, like, I wonder, though, like, what would, like, the level size limit be? Could you make, like, Ms. Pac-Man levels that are, like, 10 times the size of a normal Ms. Pac-Man level?
There are Pac-Man games that do feature, in the stages, that they're more like vertical scrollers where, like, the bottom of the screen will continually get eaten. And you have to continue up and up and up and up as fast as you can. If they put in something like that, maybe. But honestly, I'm a bit skeptical that a thing like this could really take off or be anywhere near as successful as Mario Maker. Merely because Pac-Man just does not have anywhere near the popularity that Mario does, nor the widespread appeal. And Pac-Man itself is kind of limited in what he can do. I mean, you can make all sorts of different mazes, but in the end, it's just like, okay, here's a maze, and you eat things, and that's it. I mean, in Mario, you've got all sorts of different obstacles to go through and different puzzles and challenges you can do, gathering coins or defeating enemies or, you know, exploring and, yeah, all that sort of stuff. But
I can see how the mechanics of Pac-Man might not necessarily lend itself to that type of game quite as well. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like I said, I wouldn't play it, but it's a cool idea.
Yep. You know? Honestly, we would really need Chris here to talk more about it because Chris is a Pac-Man lover, mostly for the Championship Edition. But
Pac-Man lover, is that why they're divorced?
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
Pac-Man lost Baby Pac in the divorce to Ms. Pac-Man.
To Chris.
I mean, I don't know how much his children eat, I cannot attest to whether or not they say waka 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 while they chew. But, Pac-Man Maker, Bandai Namco has obviously not said anything yet. Nothing's been revealed. So in the end, this could just be some kind of elaborate prank, but nothing definitive either way has been confirmed yet. So
and it could be just some sort of weird legal thing, because like you said, it's incredibly easy to file trademark claims in Europe. So yeah. Maybe they're just sort of testing the waters on it or something.
That's true. And there are any number of other trademarks related to Pac-Man. In the articles I've read, I've come across things like Pac-Man Feast and Pac-Man Pizza Parlor. On another note, on another reveal that is official, let's go to something modern slash not. And that is Call of Duty. So, Call of Duty is apparently taking, a page from Battlefield's book and, going backwards in time to, not to World War I, but to World War II. And the next title will officially, well, I'm not sure if the title is official yet, but, what we've been told so far is Call of Duty WW2. World War II.
Right.
So...
Which is kind of... Isn't that where Call of Duty, the original, was?
Yes.
World War II, right?
Yes. Yeah. So it's going back to its roots. I've heard a lot of people saying that World War II is overdone, and yes, it is. There are... If you want to play a World War II shooter, there are any number of iterations you can play out there. But,
yeah, like five other Call of Duties.
Right. But at the same time, Call of Duty itself has not done World War II in over a decade. And in that decade, there have been several advances in just the way we play shooters and the kind of mechanics and just overall, you know, visual technology that's available to us. And I, for one, am actually kind of excited. World War II was my major area of study, when I was in university doing history, studies. But, and so, you know, I mean, it's silly to say that and then go like, yeah, so I loved playing World War II games because they were so historically accurate. But at the same time, like, I do have a fascination with that period in time. With like in the past decade, we've also seen a shift towards a more dynamic form of storytelling, even in our shooters. So I think there's room for an actual story to be told, which could be interesting.
Yeah, I'm thinking like what I imagine here, or at least what I feel like I want out of this, is like a playable version of the movie Fury. Did you watch that movie?
I haven't yet. It's on my Netflix queue, but
I really, really liked it. I thought it was really good. For those who haven't, it's the Brad Pitt World War II movie about him being a tank commander. I think it was released maybe three or four years ago.
Right.
Something like that. It's really good. And I just sort of feel like just make a playable version of that movie. I would play the hell out of that game.
There you go.
Awesome.
World War II Fury. Fury Road. I actually do need to watch that. And there's so much stuff backed up on my Netflix queue. Although, I will say one weird thing for me as a Netflix watcher in Japan is, recently a whole bunch of, documentaries, not so much documentary, but, a lot of super old, like John Ford films and, stuff like that have come out, and some of them are like the Memphis Belle, or Thunderbolt. I watched those when I was a lot younger. And so I gave them a thumbs up on Netflix because, you know, I liked them when I was a kid. And now I'm getting like some really weird suggestions. Like, you like Thunderbolt, so maybe you'll like this film. And it says, Knowing Your Enemy, Japan. I'm like, it's an old propaganda piece. Like, Yeah.
Let's watch that on the train.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's on Netflix Japan. This is not like a VPN thing where I'm watching, American Netflix. This is, yeah. So it's weird to see that. And it does recognize, it says, you know, this is considered culturally insensitive these days, but for historical context, here's this. Anyway. Yeah, so Call of Duty, World at War, or World War II, sorry, World at War is a different game. Honestly, I think there's still a lot of World War II that hasn't been explored yet. We have seen the Pacific Theater, we've seen that several times, and of course Nazi Germany, we've seen those battles over and over and over.
We could do like North Africa.
Exactly, I was about to say, North Africa.
Even Italy.
You could do Italy. You could do any part of Russia. That's, you know, it's been touched on here and there, but there was a lot of hardship going on over there, where the Soviet soldiers, it was two men to one gun. So you had to wait for your buddy to die before you got a gun yourself.
That would actually be really cool. Like little campaign that you could do where they did the scorched earth strategy with this, just like retreating, but you were a Russian soldier and you had to participate in the scorched earth thing.
Yep.
That would be really interesting.
Absolutely. So, I mean, there's still the, like I said, with a focus on storytelling that we've seen in recent years, there's a chance for something interesting to come out of that. So, that's all the news that there has been this week. Like I said, not really much. A lot of speculation and some very small tidbits here. But there you have it. So let's go on to games we have been playing. I've only got two to really talk about. Two I just barely started.
Yeah, I've only played one enough to talk about. So
okay. All right. So I'll get started then. So last week I kind of touched on Cosmic Star Heroine. I played a significant bit more. I don't know, maybe about halfway through. And that is a very interesting game for me. I think Chris would absolutely hate it, because it is a JRPG in the truest form. It takes a lot of its beats from Chrono Trigger or maybe a little bit of Phantasy Star. It's set in a far-flung future where, some weird stuff happens where robotics are being used to control the minds of biological creatures by basically, just fusing with their minds and controlling them, as well as mutating them into, different kinds of beasts. You play as this agent of a kind of mysterious paramilitary organization that's ostensibly to help humankind, but actually, they have nefarious goals. So you're like, okay, well, this group kind of sucks. Let's get out of here. And thus begins like your fight for the truth, right? So you begin with the main character, Alyssa, who's, kind of your standard warrior type. She can beat things down, and she's pretty good at that. And I do like what they did with the quote-unquote mage. So the second character you get is a mage, but she focuses on gunmancy. So she can summon guns. That's right. She summons guns into the air, and they just blast things around.
So she's Archer from Fate Stay Night, but with guns instead of swords.
That's pretty much it. Yes. Although I think not to nerd out too much, but that would be more Gilgamesh than Archer.
Okay, fine.
But, yeah, so, yeah, there's that. And then, the third character, again, it's really weird. Like he's a hacker type, character in person, but his role in like the JRPG party is kind of the white mage. He heals your dudes, but he's also got a lightning burst that That hurts a lot of enemies, kind of like holy, affects undead enemies, right? So, and then you've got, a straight up brawler. Every ability he has is a different kind of punch. But, yeah.
17 kinds of punch.
That's
punch
right.
Punch left, punch yeah. right. Haymaker. I mean,
he literally has like uppercut and feint and dodge blow and all kinds of things like that. So, and it's very tongue in cheek. It's not taken super seriously because, the company that makes this, Zeboid, has done a lot of parody style RPGs in the past. It's a lighthearted take, but at the same time, the combat system is really interesting. You've got your progress bar on the right telling you who's going to attack and when. And every time you do an attack, you have a selection of up to 8 attacks. Every time you do one of those attacks, you can't use it anymore unless it's a repeatable attack, like your basic punch or something like that. If you take a turn to defend, then all of your abilities get reset, so you can use them again.
There's a JRPG with an actual use for the defend skill.
That's right. Yeah.
Amazing.
And it also does things like, you no longer have to worry about buying items or, going out and finding, restocking basically, because every item you use can be used again, like it's again through the use of like the defense. So you defend, you can use the item again. There you go. It's really interesting because sometimes you can see like there's an enemy who's got like a poison attack. So you're like, okay, well, I have to be ready to cure poison, so I'm going to have this person defend this round, and then the attack comes in, and then the next round you can just do the cure poison effect. It works out, and like every character has some kind of healing effect that they can do for everyone else. And that really comes in handy with another interesting mechanic where if you're taken below 0 health, you're not dead or you're not knocked out. You enter a desperation mode. And in desperation mode, you can either do an attack that does, I think it's double damage, but it's more damage, whatever. So you can either do that attack or you can heal yourself. If you do the attack, it does the more damage, but then you're knocked out. But if you heal yourself, you can go back up above 0, and stay in the realm, or stay in the fight.
So you said everybody has a healing attack. Does the brawler have like a healing punch? Punch people to heal them?
I forget what it is. I think he might just do like a bodyguard thing. I forget. But,
he hugs
them. A hug is just when you punch around them and miss, right? It's a right cross behind them. there's that interesting mechanic. I really like that. And the last thing is like, there's also, style. So if you just do the same repeatable attack over and over and over, every character has like this style rating, and the more varied types of attacks you do, the more style points you'll get, and the higher your style goes, the more damage you do. And the thing is, like, enemies will also have style points, so you have to make sure to kill the enemies before they get too powerful for you. Pretty interesting stuff there.
Sounds good. The only game I played enough to talk about this week is called Crawl. I believe it's only on PC, although the wiki says that it does have a release for PS4 and Xbox One upcoming. It's been in early release for about 3 years, but it just got a full release this month. And it is a 8-bit, 2-to-4 local multiplayer roguelike bullet hell brawler.
Why don't they just make that the title?
Because crawl is easier to say, I guess.
Oh, okay. maybe to you.
Yeah, no, it's actually really cool. I don't have four people that live with me, and my wife doesn't play video games, so I couldn't really get the full experience, but it is really cool. So, like I said, it's full-on, like, old-school 8-bit graphics, but it does look really good in the modern way that they do, you know, retro-style graphics. It's pretty good. The basic premise of the game is that you are a hero, and you have your other three people playing with you, and the other three people were also heroes as well, but they died, and so now they're vengeful spirits. And in fact, that's how every game starts. So you have four heroes in one room, and you all have to kill each other until there's only one left, and he gets to be the hero, and then everybody else gets to be like this vengeful spirit. And then you go through the dungeon. Room to room, you're walking through this dungeon, and certain rooms will have like these monster spawn symbols on the floor, and your friends will go hit the monster spawn symbol and spawn as a monster, which they then get to control, and you have to fight. And if one of them ends up killing you, then he regains his humanity and he becomes the hero, and then you become a vengeful spirit, and you have to basically try to get back to being human again.
Oh, so it's a troll game.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, so like I said, I don't have people that live with me who would like to play this sort of game, so I was just playing against three other bots.
There's no kind of online mode?
No, there isn't. It's local only.
Wow.
It's local only. Yeah.
That was a terrible move. Jesus.
Yeah. They have said the developers, it's a two-man development team out of Australia. Okay. So I don't know what their resources are like, but probably not a lot. But they have said they're working on maybe adding online multiplayer in the future, which would be way better. but I can see how it would be a lot of fun sitting on a couch with three of your friends and playing this game.
Sure.
So like the basic goal of the game is to get to level 10. Every time you kill a monster, which is one of your friends, you get some experience, and you get enough experience, you level up. And if you get to level 10, then you can go to the teleporter room, which there's one of in every level, and you get to go to the boss room. And in the boss room, there is the boss monster who has an eye and two tentacles, which are controlled by your friends. So you get to fight all three of your friends at the same time as the boss monster. Mm-hmm. So it seems really cool. No, go ahead.
Is the experience kind of, is that just into the hero, or do each of your friends have like their own experience?
You have your own experience bar. Everybody has their own experience bar. And actually the interesting thing too is that even as monsters, you sort of get some kind of experience. Like every time the hero kills a monster, the vengeful spirit players will get a wrath points. And at the end of every level, you can spend your wrath points to upgrade the various monsters that you can transform into. Hmm. So like if there's like this kobold type monster that you can upgrade, and he'll get bigger and he'll get this big spear, or there's like this little sort of tunneling worm monster that you can upgrade, and it'll turn into like this sort of like land shark type thing. So yeah, even like the monsters can sort of gain levels, sort of. And you can get gold in the dungeon, and there are shops in every level that you can go to like buy different weapons or spells. It's actually very basic as far as the mechanics go. You have an attack, you have a special, and then the hero has a dodge roll that he can do. The monsters don't have that. But so like you do your basic attack, and you can do a little combo move, and then after you do your full combo, your shadow will flash red, which means you can't attack until it stops flashing red, and so you go on cooldown, and then you can attack again. So like you can't just sit there and bash on each other for unlimited amounts of time. You actually have to sort of be kind of tactical about it,
like a stamina meter or something.
Yeah, I mean there's no meter, but yeah, kind of like that. You do your combo, and then you have to wait again before you can do your combo.
Sure.
But you can get different weapons that have different combo lengths or different reaches. You can buy different spells for your special. Like you start off with just sort of like this blue bolt that you can shoot as the hero, and the monsters all have their own specials too. Like the little worm monster, his special is to tunnel under the ground and come up on the other side of the room, so you can run away from the hero and shoot him with your acid spit some more. And then you can sort of replace your dodge roll with some other things too, items that you can buy at the shop. Like one of them was like, you could get this sort of like up close, like giant magic sword slash thing that you can do, but then you wouldn't have your dodge roll anymore. So yeah, it seems really fun. I mean, I didn't particularly enjoy it cause I was playing against three bots. But if they did add some sort of online multiplayer component, so you wouldn't have to play against bots, or if I had like some friends to hang out with, it seems really cool. One really interesting thing that I put in that I saw when I was going through the menus is they have a cabinet mode. They designed this game to be put into an arcade cabinet, a la the old Dungeons and Dragons game, something like that, to where like you can go in and play like four player, cabinet games. And it's because even like the select at the going into, starting a new game is that it says insert coin, and it has four, vertical columns for each player. And when you press the start button, you insert a coin, and then you get to put in your three letters, because that's all you need for your name is three letters. And then you get to, choose your hero color and then start the game. It looks like an old arcade cabinet, and they put a special mode in to where, like, if you have it hooked into an arcade cabinet, then it'll, modify the controls for joystick and buttons. So that was pretty cool, I thought.
Oh yeah, that's but obviously we do not have cabinets. Don't even have space for cabinets in Japan.
But it does seem like a really, really fun party game. That
if you have people friends
and the capabilities to do it, it'd be awesome.
Yes. So that is Jason's call for friends. If you're listening to this,
please be my friend.
That's right. Please be his friend. Unfortunately, he is not single, ladies. He's not single. So keep that in mind. right. So the last game I played, I put that in air quotes because definitely you guys out there can see them, is really just a mode of Overwatch, because Overwatch is currently in its new event, and that is called Overwatch Uprising.
I heard about that. Didn't read about it, but I did hear about it.
Yeah, Overwatch Uprising is kind of back to the past kind of story segment where so if you follow the lore of Overwatch at all, you might know that in the past there was a great war between the robotic, like living robotics known as Omnix, and regular humans. And there are several places where this happened, but one of the most notorious is in King's Row. So in the King's Row map, this time around, you, like I said, you go into the past, and you have a PvE kind of brawl, which is really nice. I don't like when they do that PvP capture the flag thing for the Chinese New Year. So, this is completely, bot related. It's kind of a time thing where you and three teammates, go out and you have to, you have to go to different areas and hack these computer consoles. I say hack, but that doesn't mean you require Somper. It's just being in an area hacks the machine. And that's a kind of control the point mode. You have to stay in the certain area while bots will come into the area and you have to kill them. You have to do that about three times. And you keep progressing forward and forward and forward until eventually, you have to protect a payload. A payload gets dropped down. You go to the payload. You have to protect that area a little bit more, have to protect the payload from being destroyed. And then the payload will finally start to move out towards its target. And the further you get, the more bots will drop in. So it starts out with, like, standard, you know, machine gun carrying robots that will lurch forward pretty slowly. You can kill them pretty easily. But then it introduces new enemies like slicers, which shoot a continuous beam. And I forget what it's called. There's a shield type enemy that will protect its friends.
Reinhardt?
No, because you are Reinhardt. These are robots. I mean, it's not even a robotic Reinhardt or anything like that. It's just, it's a new thing. And then there's like a giant bomb, like, just on wheels that moves around. There are heroes though. There are enemy bastions and enemy, I forget her name, the other robot that was just introduced, Orisa or something like that. It's either Osira or Orisa.
I think it's Orisa or Orisa, whatever.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like a centaur robot, that launches shields and has machine guns. But, yeah, so the enemy bastions will come in, and those are pretty terrible because, they're bastion, and they'll just rip through you. So there's actually two different kinds of this mode. The first mode is, where it's the original Overwatch team. So you have, Mercy, Reinhardt, Tracer, and Torbjorn. Those are kind of your set roles, and it's first come, first served for whoever gets those roles. And then there's the one that's open to all heroes. The one that's open to all heroes can get kind of crazy, because obviously if you don't pick the right kind of team comp, then it's gonna get pretty hectic. But people have discovered some various silly things. Like, if you choose Lucio as the healer, then the gigantic bombs can actually be kind of booped back with his secondary fire. And they just travel a huge distance away from you. So it's kind of makes it a little bit safer. But, it's a pretty interesting mode. And I'm all for PvE kind of brawls. It's a lot of fun. You get together with your friends and go through. And, because it is an event, you get, all kinds of new loot boxes, which include voice lines and skins. And, I have to say, I'm not really impressed with any of them, so I think I'll probably just keep my coins. It's a fun mode all the same.
So this is a limited time thing,
right? Kind of like the Junkenstein thing they did for Halloween,
or the Olympics thing they did, right?
Yeah, but that Olympics thing was terrible. It was just
Didn't like Lucio Ball?
No, it was just Rocket League. So
okay.
I like Rocket League, but this was a bad knockoff of Rocket League. Other games I've just kind of dipped a toe into are Shyness, the Lightning Kingdom. That's the very first game I ever kickstarted, as I said last week, because the main character's name is Chado, and my name is Chad, but in Japanese it's pronounced Chado. But then I was immediately disappointed to find out that his name is not Chado. So,
what is it?
This is a French game, and how do you say CH in French?
Shadow.
That's right. His name is Shadow. So 0 out of 10 for this game. No, it's a pretty interesting, like, action RPG, but, I'll talk about that more next week. The other one, just played like only 2 hours so far is, Fire Emblem Echoes Shadows of Valentia, which will be getting a Western release next month, I believe. Just came out in Japan this Thursday. Just initial kind of thing is, if you are a fan of the Fire Emblem games, like Awakening and what's the other one? Birthright. Or no, If. No,
Fates.
There you go. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, Fates. Fire Emblem Fates. If you're a fan of those, do be careful before jumping into Fire Emblem Echoes, because this is a remake of the original. The original Fire Emblem Gaiden, which is the second game, Fire Emblem, second Fire Emblem game, and they kept all of the old kind of mechanics. So you're not gonna see anything like there are no there's no character marriage, and there's no weapon triangle. That was a new thing for me. There's also elements of like dungeon crawling, and the maps are huge, sprawling things. They're like 64 squares, like 64 by 64 kind of thing. Just something to keep in mind, but I'll be talking about that more next week. And in the meantime, there are games coming out next week, and I'll probably pick up one or two of those as well. We have coming up Static for the PS4, PS4, but PSVR. That's a kind of puzzling game. Your hands are locked in a box and you have to solve a puzzle that you can't even see. So that's pretty cool. Dragon Quest Heroes 2 for PS4, is getting its Western release. Outlast 2 for PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Pinstripe, for PC and, iOS. Puyo Puyo Tetris gets its Western release for Switch and PS4. Sniper Ghost Warrior 3 for PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Siberia 3, that's Siberia with a Y, is coming for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. I've heard good things about that game. The Walking Dead Season 3 gets Episode 4. I haven't even started Season 3. What Remains of Edith Finch for PC and PS4. I always get these developer team names mixed up. I believe that's Giant Sparrow. For some reason I always get Giant Sparrow and Supergiant mixed up. But we have Psychopass Mandatory Happiness gets a PC release. Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War 3 comes to PC. Little Nightmares, which is a horror styled. It's a stylized horror Little Big Planet looking kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks pretty interesting. I don't think it's like fully horror bent, but, PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is coming to Switch. And I don't have any friends to play it with, so probably won't be picking that one up. And, Constructor HD for PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. Along with a few other titles, just gonna go through these real quick. Arcade Classic Archive, Neo Geo Galaxy Fight Universal Warriors coming to PS4, Crossout for PS4, Death State, all of these are PS4, I'm just gonna, Death State, which is a bullet hell adventure. The Deer God gets a PS4 and Vita, port. It's been out on PC for a while. Eventide Slavic Fable, an adventure game with Slavic mythology. The Legend of Dark Witch for Vita. I already said that one. I said Outlast 2, but I forgot to mention there's also Outlast Trinity. So if you've never played Outlast, there's going to be a 3-pack of Outlast and the Whistleblower DLC content and Outlast 2. Next, Period Cube Shackles of Amadeus.
What?
Period.
Like a shape of a cube or like the word cube?
It's period spelled out, colon, cube, an image of a cube. Or at least the box art has a cube on it, or it's actually just a square, but yeah. Period colon square, shackles of Amadeus.
What?
Yeah. It looks like an Otome game. So, there you go. There's that. That's for the Vita. Puyo Tetris. River City Melee Battle Royale Special coming to PS4. Shovel Knight gets its Spectre of Torment DLC, which I've been playing on Switch, and that's really nice. Symphony of the Machine for PSVR. Kind of just looks like a beautiful explore the world kind of thing. Valhalla Hills Definitive Edition coming to PS4. And last one, Zombier for PS4.
Zombier?
Yes.
Zombie beer?
Yes. The description, the box art shows a nearly naked female zombie. Definitely female, kind of dancing at you. And the description says, drink zombier to stay human. Resist luscious zombie cheerleaders, exotic dancers, mimes, and a very suspicious guy in a thong.
Okay, don't think I'm gonna play that. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So those are your games coming out next week. For other gaming news and reviews and all that stuff, you can head on over to our website at kaijupop.com, where we post all kinds of things. I'm going to put up a Graceful Explosion Machine review. I'm going to try to get my Zelda Breath of the Wild review up. So some stuff is coming out there. You can also follow us on social media, on YouTube at kaijupop, on Twitter at kaijupop. Or you can follow me personally. I am at Kyoshi Banzai.
Or you can follow me at Gibsaurus.
And that is going to do it for episode 232 of the Kaiju Podcast. I want to thank you guys for listening, liking, subscribing, commenting, doing all that kind of stuff. Again, thank you so much, and y'all have a good day. Goodbye.
See ya.